Please remember, the views and opinions expressed by this show or any other show on DV Radio and its guests are strictly those of said individuals and do not reflect those of the DV Radio staff, nor the staff of Dysfunctional Veterans.
The following includes conversation relating to cryptocurrency. The information provided and discussed is strictly for educational and informational purposes only. Any use of any information is done so at your own risk. DV Radio LLC, as well as the hosts and guests of the show, take no responsibility if you wish to use any of the information in your daily life. Again, the topics discussed are strictly for informational and educational purposes only.
I am Chris, the CEO.
My name is Paul, I'm the COO.
I am Chris, aka Ludacris, the Chief Technical Officer.
My name is Zach. I'm the Chief Marketing Officer, better known as the When Marketing Officer, because it never gets done, right?
Our long show, we will talk about Affinity, crypto in general, DeFi, blockchain technology, and just talk about anything, whatever the hell we feel like talking about.
Get to know us at a little more personal level.
Babbling nonsense.
Is there cursing rules or anything?
No, you say whatever the fuck you want.
I think they'd be more worried if you didn't curse.
Love these guys.
Show me the money! Hey, what's going on, everybody? Tuesday night, another Affinity Protocol right here on WDVR, DVRadio.net, and on Twitch. Thank y'all for coming out and listening to another episode. You know, we know it's summertime. We know things, people got things going on. Weather was warm and hot and sticky today around here. So, Paul, Chris, how y'all doing?
It was not warm. It was just straight hot.
It wasn't all that hot down here. What? But that's why the old man knows that I just got back from the fair, right?
Yeah.
So if I randomly just fucking dip out and there's like, oh, where the fuck Paul go? It's because your boy had more sugar than he knows what to do with. I'm talking like diabetes level of sugar at the fair. Cause you know, I got a 4-year old. Of course he wants cotton candy and a lemonade and, whatever the hell else he wanted.
Oh, but yeah.
Long story long, man, your boy's stomach is starting to hurt a little bit from the sugar. So I'm over here pounding water, trying to dilute it out and whatnot. Fair was a good time. You know, I'm finally hitting that area with my son where not that he no longer wants to do stuff with mom and dad. Like he's trying to be more independent, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like, and you know the fair I'm talking about. So you know how they have like some of the roller coasters that if you're taller than 42 inches, you can go on.
Yep.
But like my son's skinny, so there's a chance he's just going to slip right out the seat anyways because, you know, they can't get the seatbelt tight enough, you know, that kind of thing. But, you know, as a father, your job is to protect your kids.
Yeah.
So, man, it was scary as hell watching him go on this roller coaster because I also know my son. And I also know that at the first sign of trouble, he's going to try to bail. A roller coaster is not the place to do that, especially because, like I said, I know his little skinny ass. He could get out that seat. He did. Whenever it was done, instead of like getting the clip undone, kid just stood up and jumped over the seatbelt, basically. So like,
he said, "I'm done."
Oh, exactly. And there's like there's one turn on this roller coaster that he doesn't like because the first time he rode it with mom, and then he wanted to ride again by himself, which is, you know, fine. But he went around that turn one time and did like the pass by where me and the wife were standing, and he had that look on his face like, I'm done with this. And like, you know, all the parents are like, oh, ha ha, it's so cute. And I'm like, no, y'all don't get it. He's gonna bail. Like, this is not good. So I'm like yelling, I'm like, stay in your seat. Don't do it. And like all the other parents are like, he's not going to jump. And I'm like, you don't know my kid. This boy going to jump.
You might, man. There's some disasters at fairs too, man. That stuff scares me.
Oh, I know. And no, Tiff, it's not fried food runs. I actually didn't have any fried food. I just had.
Yeah, you don't have any fried dough?
No, I just don't like fried dough.
Really?
Wow. Okay, I lied. I had one thing of fried food because I had a corn dog because I like corn dogs.
Oh, yeah.
But I had a corn dog because my wife eats the equivalent of a 2-year-old. She had like 3 bites of a sausage grinder. So I finished that up for her. And then I had a fuck ton of cotton candy, man. Because, you know, again, you know, my son, 4 years old. So, you know, he's like, I want the cotton candy. I'm like, all right, cool. So I go to get him the small bag and he's like, no, I want the big one. And I'm like, bruh, like, it's not going to fit in your stomach. Like, I know you. And he's just yelling for the big one. And of course, my wife is like, just get in the big one. And I'm like, no, because like, I also don't like wasting food. So I know exactly how this is going to go. And it played out exactly as I figured it would. Kid took three bites and was like, I'm done.
See, I don't like cotton candy, not the flavor, because I do love the flavor. Like when I get ice cream, I like cotton candy flavored ice cream and all that. I have a big thing about being sticky, and I know I'm opening myself up for whatever the fuck comments now, but like, I don't like my hands sticky. I don't like being sticky. So I don't like eating cotton candy. I don't, even when I get like somebody mentioned funnel cakes, I love fried dough, funnel cakes, all that stuff, but I typically put no sugar on it because I don't want to be sticky while I'm eating it.
Being sticky brings back flashbacks, huh?
I was wondering who was going to say it first. But no, I'm to an extent, I'm with you on that. Because like, especially when you're at a fair where it's not like readily available for you to wash your hands and be like, all right, cool, I'm good now. So like, that's basically how it was. I downed this whole thing of effing cotton candy. Then the kid wanted ice cream. And I'm like, you know what? I got affinity protocol tonight. The wife gonna have to deal with this. Let's go get you some fucking ice cream. Right? Went and got some ice cream. And then on the way out, wife wanted some fried Oreos. And I'm like, you do you. I'm not a huge fan of the fried Oreos because I feel like the whole process makes the inside of it a little soggy. So yeah. I'm just, you know, like, yeah, no thanks. They did have fried Twinkies. I almost got one of those, but I was like, no, I'm not gonna do that because they got this Mocha Blast fucking milkshake right here. I'm going to get that motherfucker. I made a mistake there. I thought that thing was going to come out small. And this thing was a fucking 7-Eleven big gulp size. So I got done with that. And we were I got done with that. And we were walking back to the car. And I was like, oh, baby, I don't feel so good right now. Like, there's way too much fucking sugar.
Yeah, he went to the fair like a teenage boy and shit. Ate everything.
I know, man. I know.
That's crazy.
But that was so again, long story super long. If I just disappear and y'all like, the fuck happened there, that's because your boy's stomach hurt. I might have to go get sick in the toilet or something like that. It's like way too much sugar.
At least Tiff understands. If I do eat it, that's how I do it too. I do, like, then I feel like a bitch because I'm like pinching at the
cotton candy. Well, I'm gonna get you some chopsticks to take with you for cotton candy, man.
Oh, that'd be badass. That would be badass, man. I didn't think of that.
Man, I'll even get you the little kid ones so they're like connected at the top. You don't have to actually use them like chopsticks. Oh, make them easier good. For you.
I can use chopsticks. That's good.
I like, I am here for you, man. That, or you can get like a pair of the mini tongs. I mean, maybe not now because Bed Bath & Beyond is gone, but like, you just get you a little pair of mini tongs.
That's awesome. Actually, that's an invention for somebody waiting.
Bro, I'm here for you, man.
Disposable, like, I mean, I know they have disposable chopsticks, but like specifically, like make them specifically for cotton candy. So they're like more of like spoons on the end.
You know, I mean, I would almost spork it just so you can get chunks of it off. But you know.
That's good. Am I wrong with that idea? Just cut us in.
That's right. Yeah, see, exactly. The mini silicone tongs. That's all you need. Because those can fit in a, like, you know, if you're a dude and you got cargo shorts, throw those in your pocket, be all right. Your girl, you got a decent sized purse, you just toss them in there. You know, you get your bag inspected at the fair, they might be like, yeah, what are you fucking bringing tongs here for? But you know, just tell that person, don't tell me how to live my life. Use them tongs.
I like it.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. The next infomercial, spork sticks for cotton candy or other fibrous treats.
Sponsored by Affinity. Chris, what have you been up to, man? What you do anything? And I know you've been working. Oh, that's not what I'm getting at. You know, we'll talk about some shit, but I'm talking about, go to any fairs or anything? You go to, you know?
Just my friend's wedding. That's it.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I did have another
graduation. Y'all called me Eeyore. That was the biggest monotone noise of my friend's wedding I ever fucking heard.
Sounds like it was an exciting wedding.
See, no, right now I'm contemplating, do I want some fried dough?
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Get that shit DoorDashed.
Where the hell are you going to get that from?
You're ever had Simcoe's before?
No.
It's a place in Mattapan, I think.
That's crazy.
Man, you're throwing all these big words out there. I don't know what it means.
Oh, yeah, fried dough, DoorDash. That's crazy. Yeah, I went to at a graduation party this past weekend, too, which was interesting because I don't see even my immediate family that I grew up with and my siblings and all that. I don't see them a whole lot.
Hey, man, you don't got to expand to me on that one. I'm well versed in how that party went.
And to a point, it reminded me why I don't see them a whole lot. Because there's still text conversations going on about, like, man, it is. I told my brother, I said, listen. I said, you guys wonder sometimes why I don't come down there too often. I said, every time I leave, while I'm there, I feel like I'm on an episode of Desperate Housewives or some shit. Because the rumors and all that shit that start up and people, you know, gossiping and everything. I'm like, I don't want to deal with it. It's not who I am. I don't like it. I don't like drama. I don't like none of that shit. And it's just like that. And then, like, you know, without getting too much into it, there was like one text message I got from somebody that was like, hey, I heard that so-and-so was talking to this person and they were chummy with him all of a sudden. And then I had to respond to them and say, hey, you realize that person wasn't even there, right? So it's crazy. But typical families, you know, that's something I'm sure a lot of you can relate.
Your family, like, I wouldn't even call that Desperate Housewives, man. That's some Jersey Shore shit right there.
Crazy. Well, it's funny. I've never actually seen Desperate Housewives either, but I've seen, like, you know, when you watch TV, you see the previews and all that, and they're always showing, like, they're backstabbing each other and, you know.
I don't even think you're talking about Desperate Housewives. I think you're talking about, like, the Real Housewives. Oh, maybe that's the one. Whatever city is probably what you're thinking.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. Yeah. They always got some drama going on between them and they're nice to each other in person, you know, that kind of shit, you know, but I try to steer clear of that, you know, life's too short to be dealing with all that bullshit.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We won't bring them in on the cotton candy chopsticks. Done.
They're not cutting them in. They can get their own.
Nah, man. They can get sticky fingers. Fuck them.
Hell yeah. But, you know, it's been crazy. And, you know, not only the personal side, but, you know, just like we talked, you know, pre-show about things that have been going on in the news and everything that's been going on with not just crypto, but also just in general with government regulation and with technology and everything else. And what were we talking about? The letter, right? We're talking about the letter that went out. Couple letters that went out from senators to Gary Gensler. What was that first one? I forget who sent that out.
Richard. You talking about Dick?
Yes. Richie Torres, actually from New York.
Dick Torres from New York.
Yeah. Sent out, and, you know, I mean, the bottom line is it was about crypto. And he's talking about, you know, legal clarity and the need for him to, like, freaking back down. Because especially with everything going on in the courts right now, we got, you know, XRP and we got Coinbase, right? Coinbase has got their lawsuit going on and
some Binance things, US.
Yeah, and there's some things getting thrown out, some, you know, some clarity being brought in by the courts. And in reality, right, Gary's and the SEC are supposed to be enforcing law. They're not supposed to be creating law. And if Congress hasn't created those laws yet, what we have to go by is case law. So that's why these are so important. Like, how these play out is so important. It's, you know, aside from the market reacting how they're going to react, you know, based on whatever information. And we've seen that, right? That when that information came out about certain things being ruled in favor of XRP, we've seen the market react. I think XRP went up like, what, 80%,
They hit like 80 something.
Yeah, not low 90 for price, 90 something cents, 92%, 92 cents, I'm sorry. I mean, it came back down, but that's the kind of thing that's been happening. There's nothing to sustain it.
But the pullback wasn't serious.
Yeah.
So like the pullback wasn't serious. So that's to me, at least for market sentiment, that's a good thing. Because it's showing the strength of what potential crypto has there. And we're just waiting for basically the next group of case law to be determined, essentially. Because you said, SEC is supposed to enforce.
Yep.
With enforcing, there is a degree of interpreting that goes along with it. Like you said, now there's members of Congress writing letters saying, you know, back down. We just have to hope that, you know, Gary Gensler never seen those movie cinematic series of Never Back Down, right? Because otherwise he's going to have that mentality. But it's yet again just one step closer to what I would think is going to be resolution, whether it's in favor of or not in favor of. But it's one step closer to resolution. And as of right now, it's in favor of crypto. So it really just depends on the minute specifics of the other cases that are going to have determining favor for or against. That's really going to kind of either continue to bolster up that case law or bring it right back down to not really knowing what the right answer is.
Yeah. That's the gist of it, right? It's just like any other time you go anything with law, you know, you got to go to court for suing somebody or get arrested or whatever. And if there's nothing concrete in the law to cover whatever it is that you're going through, that's exactly what they do. It happens all the time in business law because there's all kinds of crazy shit that happens in businesses or with employees, employee law and all this other thing that are just new. So, or maybe it's happened a couple times, but there's never been laws written around it. So they go with case law.
Well, and I think that's an important precedent, which I'm, you know, I haven't read the letters because I wanted to react to the shorter one that you have and give my, you know, first thoughts on it type thing. But like, if you ask me, and I understand that this is not exactly how our legal system works, which is unfortunate. I think it's how it should work. But you have an entity that is supposed to enforce laws, whether they exist or not, right? They're supposed to enforce the laws, which can lead to that, you know, area of interpretation that I kind of said. So when you have something new like this, where there's potential talk of lawsuits being brought up, the entity itself, which in this case is the SEC, in my opinion, should be turning to Congress and saying, I need you to write laws regarding this because the interpretation of the current laws we have are outdated, right? Like you hear all the time about outdated, like crazy state laws that are still a thing that like are never actually enforced anymore because they're, you know, from the 1700s or 1800s or whatever the hell it was. But the people enforcing it should be going to the entity that creates the law or changes the law and say, hey, this is new. Interpreting what we have on the books right now would not do justice towards this topic or whatever it is. You need to come together and create law so that we can do our job to enforce. Because what they did is they tried to go the interpretation route. And instead of stopping and saying, hey, this is outdated info, we need better verbiage, they just went for the jugular, which is stupid. It's just a terrible interpretation of how it should work. Interpretation. I just had to say it again because I said it like 10 times.
Interpretation. And I apologize. There's no shorter letter. That was a different letter I was reading. This one's about 5 or 6 paragraphs.
Maybe it's way too long.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Nah, I ain't trying to listen to that.
I mean, but the long and short of it is that's what he's talking about. He's talking about, you know, that these rulings are happening. And one of them being that they found that the token itself is not a security. That's big, right? I mean, that doesn't clarify everything. That doesn't cover the entire lawsuit. You know, there's still a lot of things pending. But there's now something in the court saying that the XRP token is not a security. You know,
that winner.
Yeah, right there. I mean, now that can be used in proceeding, you know, court cases. They did, you know, there is some clarification that needs to be made around that. Obviously, it what they do with it can still be deemed, you know, making it a security by the way it's being utilized and issued or anything like that. So if you're issuing it in a way that you would issue a security, then that instance of it can cause it to become a security. So at its core in general, just having the currency itself, just creating it and it being there in existence is not a security.
Alec, fucking you lost.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to how the rest of this plays out. Definitely, you know, as we all should be. This is a very long ongoing. I mean, how long has this been going on? Like 3 years almost?
Oh, God. You know who we have to ask about that.
Yeah. It's been going on.
That boy followed XRP so much. Yeah. The only time he missed it was when there was that exploit that changed the price in everybody's wallet. And boy almost had a heart attack thinking he was a billionaire.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember that. He called me up today, early this morning, and said, hey, I got a problem. Big problem. I said, what? He said, my XRP is no longer, and my XLM is no longer in my wallet. And I helped him the other day get it off. He was storing it on a central exchange. And mm-hmm. I had to move it to, you know, a DeFi wallet. So I had him create a multi-chain wallet, you know, blah, blah, and had to move it off. So he calls me up and he says, hey, it's not there. I don't see it. He's like, I see, you know, because he owns some Affinity. He owns some, you know, obviously Cardano and some other things. And I'm like, do you remember you created a fresh wallet just specifically for that? He's like, oh, shit. And he looked at it. And yeah, of course, sure shit was there. But he was freaking out. He thought all of it was gone.
Well, I would have, too.
Yeah. I was like, well, you didn't click on any bad links or anything. No, no. I was like, well, the odds of it disappearing out of thin air is extremely slim, man. So let's figure this out. Blockchain don't lie. So
nope. Gonna look it up.
But he found it. He found it. And what else? That other letter, Chris, actually, you were just sent this over to me and we didn't have a chance to actually have a conversation about it from. I did hear, now, in all fairness, this is a very, very lengthy letter as well. I am not reading it. It's multiple pages, 8 pages, it looks like. From
fuck that.
Well, it's from Senator Warren. Also to Gary. Like,
wait, Senator Elizabeth Warren?
Elizabeth Warren.
Oh, God.
Who, and I will go on record to say I despise this woman, like deeply. She wrote a letter to Gary trying to convince him to look into Tesla. Obviously, I know, I guess this still correlates to, like I said, government stuff, not necessarily crypto. But she wants the SEC to investigate Tesla for, you know, some things that correlate to the purchase of Twitter. I didn't read the letter in full length, so I don't know if she went into detail about. I know he had to utilize some Tesla stocks in order to acquire Twitter and things like that. So that's probably the road she wants to go down or wants the SEC to go down. This lady needs to chill. Like, stop trying to rat people out for everything. You know how much money that her and a lot of other Congress people on both sides, we'll call it all sides, right? Because we do have some independents in Congress and some other parties. On all sides, making money hand over fist, doing some of the shadiest shit that the SEC could potentially be all over if they wanted to, but they don't. And then you're going to go ahead and throw stones and try to rat out a company because they bought a social media
platform. That's why they pissed, because they couldn't find a way to profit off of it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, they're not happy. They don't like Elon, right? And whatever. I don't judge people for your opinion on somebody else. Whatever. You don't like them, you love them. Hey, whatever. But that's why, because they don't like them. So they're going to try to burn them. And that's unfortunately what happens in our government. You know, the people at the top, they don't like somebody, they try to get them arrested or worse. And it's a sad, sad environment. But yeah, she wrote that letter, not surprisingly. And I hope it gets ignored, but probably not.
Now, did she find a way to fit in there that she's not going to run for president so that she can get reelected into her current office and then to turn around 3 months later and actually drop her bid for running for president?
Bro, I could not believe. Now, I get it. We didn't have strong contention against her, but I cannot believe she got reelected in the state, man. It made me very, very sad. Very, very sad to see her get reelected.
Oh man, that's your girl right
there. And I have no problem going on the record if it doesn't already, it's not clear as day anyway. I did not vote for her. I will never vote for her. She'd have to have a really shitty opponent.
Right.
Real shitty opponent. But yeah, it's been a hell of a time. Chris, you got nothing on that? You got nothing. You sent me the article. You got nothing. I just want to hear him talk about the wedding again.
Nope, don't got nothing on that.
Tell me more about that wedding. Did you do any dancing?
Nah.
What'd you do? How long were you there?
Let's see, started at 4 hours.
The was that the wedding and the reception combined, or
yeah they did it wasn't a big wedding. It was just like on the lake, somebody's backyard. Okay. Type of wedding.
Okay. It's kind of what I did when I got married.
Yeah, I'm with Tiff on that one. That was the fucking longest wedding story ever. Chris, shut up, dude. Jesus Christ.
I'm trying to pull it out of him. I want to get the details. He's hiding some. I want to see him. He's got some this video of him dancing or something. I got to see it.
No, there isn't.
Hey, man, you peddled some affinity while you was there?
I'm going to give it to him as a wedding present.
man, yeah, I set you up with a wallet. I set y'all up with an Adapt username.
Yeah, man, I gave her my team wallet.
I was man, I was going hard at those graduation parties. My brother was like, "What is wrong with you?" Because you know, not only you know me, I don't like try to sell affinity, but I'm going to tell you everything that we're doing. But I am going to try to sell you on the idea of DeFi and crypto in general. And then also make sure I reiterate what we're doing and what we got going on, right? So in a sense, it is selling, if any, but I don't, you know what I mean? Like it's not, I'm not there to try to, you know, just pitch and.
Yo, how long till your brother told you shut the fuck up?
I mean, he owns some. but no, like the young kids that were there, like my nieces and nephews and stuff, I got a few of them set up with wallets. You know, I sent them a little starter pack, you know, of some of the, cause I own a few, you know, a few blue chips and a few things, right? I own some Bitcoin. And of course I own some PEG stuff and I own affinity and I have my personal wallet and all that too. So I hooked them up with a little starter pack, and we'll see where it goes from there. But I told them, make sure you keep in touch and, you know, well, you got any questions and oh, everything like that. So a few was well received and a few of them looked at me like I was the insane old man.
They was right.
But they got to know, especially these young kids, man, because There's a lot to it, and there's a lot, whether they know it right now or not, it's going to be a bigger part of their life than they realize. So, you know, but they just worried about TikTok right now. They're like, can I use it on TikTok? The fuck you can. I know, I shook my fist at them. You darn kids.
Stay off my lawn.
Open up a DeFi wallet right now. But yeah. Yeah, and then I just whooped the ass in cornhole. So what's up?
I mean, you have to.
I did too. I was tuning them up, and then they had this other game. What the hell was it called? You put the beer bottles on the sticks and you throw frisbee at it.
Nope.
Bottle something. I forget exactly what it's called. But yeah, essentially, like, you know, about the width apart, you'd put like horseshoes or whatever.
Yeah.
And then there's a frisbee. It's got a little weight to it. And you throw the frisbee, and if they go to catch it and they drop it, it's a point. And you got to hit the bottle off the thing. If you hit the pole, you know, it's a bunch of rules to it. But yeah. Whooping some ass in that too. You know? Hey, speaking of game, before we move on to, you know, anything else more technical crypto related, VR. So I haven't played my VR in quite a while.
Oh, here we go. I seen the Facebook messages on this.
I got to tell you about this. I got to tell you about it because it's cool as shit. I can't get over it. I want to play a little bit more. But so I haven't played it in quite a while. Kids decided, hey, I want to play it. So I pulled it out, charged it up for them. You know, they did whatever on it. And before I put it, you know, back on the charger and got it all wrapped up, I remembered I wanted to check it out. It came out like 2 years ago or a year and a half ago. I never got a chance to check it out. NFL something Era or Era Pro. I can't remember the exact name of it. And it's down to like $15. So I said, I got to check this out. So I end up getting it. Man, that game is cool as hell. It really is. So you get it, you put the VR on, you get into a game, and you're in the stadium, and you're the quarterback. It's basically what you play. You just play as the quarterback. You get in the huddles. Plays come in. You look at your wrist. You can call audibles, blah, blah. You take the snap, throw the passes, all that good shit. And then when you're not on offense, you actually stand on the sidelines if you don't emulate the defense. You know, you stand on the sideline, you can actually watch the defense play against the other team, special teams, all that shit. You got the clipboard in your hand. You can go through all your old plays to see like where you might have screwed up, what the defense was playing, calling against you, shows all stats and all that good shit. And then when the offense takes the field again, you go back on the field and, you know, do your thing. It's a really, really cool game. If you like football and you own VR, I highly suggest you at least check it, you know, research it, look at it, check it out. It's a lot of fun. And you can play from a chair.
I'm going to break into your shit making so you can only play Tom Brady.
Oh, my God. No, you could be your own, so you take the place of the quarterback. So
I'm making it so you Tom Brady.
I'll burn that VR headset.
I'm making some TB12 is burned into the HUD.
Nah, it's really cool. They did a really good job with it. And you know, when things happen on the, you know, on the field, the crowd noise is realistic as hell too. And then when things happen, whether it's, you know, the home field or away, if you're going for a fourth and short or whatever, the crowd gets real loud. It's great. It's a good time. I feel like Uncle Rico, right? Like, man, my days, my better days, I could have been an NFL quarterback.
I was going to say, man, you throw a crazy sidearm too.
It's one of those games that's for those kind of people. Like when you feel like, I could have played. Yeah, no, you could.
I could have made it as a quarterback.
And then you get that blindside blitz come off in VR and you're like, shit. All over the couch. You stop running.
Run into a wall. Right into a wall.
You got to be careful with that.
I bet you had a worse record than the Lions.
No, I only played one game, right? Because I didn't play a lot and didn't have a lot of time. But I played one game. It was against the Bears. And we ended up beating them 17-7. Two touchdowns and a field goal. But no, it was, yeah, you gotta be careful with that. Cause if you, there's two ways you can set it up. So it automatically does a drop back or you can drop back. I was like, nah, I'm doing the automatic because my ass is going to drop back and run right into that damn wall.
I'd pay to see that, man. I would honestly pay to see that.
I would take the snap, drop back, run right into the... Or roll out. The bliss is coming.
Knowing you're like, that's when the dog comes over. Like, hey, what you doing?
Nope. I'm good. But... A lot of fun. So hopefully when I get some more time, I can check it out again. But yeah, now that we're on the other half of the second 30 minutes of the Affinity Protocol. So I do want to talk about some other DeFi related things, right? Because, with us and everything that we have going on, we do see it. And obviously, like we've said in the past, we got to do a better job with at least getting in the socials and more communication, Telegram and stuff. But I do want to at least, express to everyone, at least on this Affinity Protocol, the level of shit that we have going on right now. And I know we can talk more about on Affinity Fridays and all that. And as a matter of fact, as soon as we got off the last Twitter space, I was like, fuck, a couple things I want to talk about. But here we are on Affinity Protocol. The level of stuff, like, a perfect example is, on my way back from, when I was out today and I talked to Chris and I was like, hey, what do you want to talk about? Affinity Protocol. He's talking to me about more stuff and things that we need to add into Adapt that have not even really fully been discussed publicly. And, some testing that he wants to do, some of it on testnet, some of it on the fork, some of it on mainnet. And there's a lot of other things going on at the same time. We are very aware of the floaty situation. I have read some things in Telegram. Again, even if I'm not necessarily as vigilant as I need to be with replying, I do read the bulk of everything that goes on there. Our mods are extremely good about keeping us informed as well. If we miss something, they'll post it, repost it again in mod chat, or at least reach out to us and say, hey, check this out. Try to reach out to them. So I want to thank them all again for the amazing work that they do day in and day out, to represent Affinity. But that being said too, with the floaters, we get it. It's slowed down significantly. NFTs are, not very hot right now. Especially with everything with what happened over the last, and I feel like we've been talking about this for over a year now, which we have, with things in the slowdown on the market. NFTs have just not been good as far as their attention and everything else. This isn't something that we are just saying, again, like, trust me, we'll come out with something or just hang on. We are working on things. We want to incorporate that. The trouble with it right now is, again, we are a small team. And we have a lot going on. We have not forgotten about, the floaty holders or some of the other things that we have going on. But we have to work through this methodically and in a process that's going to put us in the best footing, to move everything forward because we want to grow as a team. Right now we're a small team for a reason, for multiple reasons, and it's by design. But we want to expand on that, but in the right way. We could expand easily. I could go out and look for and hire three or four or five more people tomorrow, but that would cause us to have to react in a way that other projects typically do, and we don't want to. And what does that mean? That means selling the token against you guys. That means dipping into liquidity. That means, doing whatever it needs, and we're not doing it. So we need to do it in the right way to, keep the products, keep the token, keep everything stable, keep everything in the hands for you guys, move on with that. But anyway, I wanted to just talk about some of that. I also want to talk a little bit about, with the rest of the market, right? We see things launch all the time. And even in this bear market where it seems as though possibly maybe this is not my call that it has bottomed. But it looks as though maybe, who knows, But at least we hit a stagnant point where there's accumulation going on and there's not a whole lot of downward movement. There's not a whole lot of upward movement. And we're still seeing things launch, right? You're going to see it. And there's a few reasons for that. One is the real reason that it should be happening for legitimate innovation and to move crypto and DeFi forward. And then there's another reason, and that is to put money in their own pockets. And if some other people along the way make some money, great, right? But in reality, it's for the developers and the close friends and whoever else and the influencers or whoever and are behind it to make money. That's not, like I said, that's not always the case. There are some legitimate ones out there that are doing the right thing, that are doing great things. But, you know, so really when you're seeing these things happen day to day, and then you got to look at the track record, you know, where are they in 2 weeks, a month, 3 months, 6 months down the road? Are they even around? I'm not just talking about token price. I'm not talking about asset price. I'm talking about just where the hell are they? Are the things they were talking about even being worked on or even in existence at that point? Or they just give it up and said, you know what? Some people made money, so they're going to talk great about us, that it wasn't a scam or a scheme. But the rest of everybody lost out, and now they walked away from it. So the reason I bring this up is because I want to make sure that everybody out there that's been following and part of Affinity and listening to this and listening to Affinity Fridays and everything else we do can differentiate between that. We are out here doing things every day behind the scenes, in front of you, you know, trying to keep that line of communication open. But at the same time, we have to keep working, keep moving things forward. We're not going anywhere. We're moving in on our 2-year anniversary. Even when prices dip and stagnate and rise and fall and do their thing, we can't control that. And we definitely don't want to manipulate it one way or the other, cause it to go down or cause it to go up artificially. So we're just, again, out here doing our thing. We are different than a lot of them. You're going to see things that are going to come out, launch. They're going to pump 10X, 50X, whatever the hell it is. But look beyond that. Look beyond that first 2 days, week, 2 weeks. Look at it 2 months, 3 months. Do you still have the same level of faith in who's behind it? Do they have the same level of commitment that you expect out of something like Affinity? That's up to you.
Or make your money and get the fuck out.
Yeah, right? I mean, that's up to you.
Not financial advice.
Exactly, right? That's the other thing, too, is, hey, nobody's telling you don't do your thing, right? I can't speak for everybody on this team, but I've done it. You know, I've gone into different projects and I could see the writing on the wall, and I either took whatever profits or whatever losses I needed to do, and I moved on. But that's the bottom line. I see some comparison there, and I do get it. I get people get antsy and they see things that are happening elsewhere. I mean, if you don't have what we like to call dry powder, which is, some either BNB or Ethereum or USD or assets sitting on the sideline that you can use to make other trades. I get it. That can be very frustrating, especially if you feel like you've been sitting on an investment for quite a long time. So I do get it. But I felt that needed to be stated. And what better time than the Affinity Protocol?
Well, Dukal said it don't matter. We're stuck with him. So, I mean,
yeah. Hey, man. No matter what, y'all good people, and y'all stick with us anyway.
Yeah, I think you're good people, even if you think Chris is cool. I can let that slide.
Yeah. That being said, we do have, and we will have next month, a lot more information coming out. Hopefully we'll get beyond some of this stuff. I do have to have some conversations with Chris on some things that we have to prioritize. To be able to actually get moving on some other things. So we'll be having some conversations and trying to get all that information out. But, I mean, we got, again, August next month marks our 2-year. We'll put out some information. And by that, I don't mean, I'm not trying to hype things up and say, this is going to be some crazy things. You know, it's our birthday month and we're going to be releasing things every day and week. And you know, expect, you know, big, great, mind-blowing shit. You know, but we're going to put out more information on what we got going on and some information as to what, you know, why we moved away from certain things that we were planning on and why we're moving in a certain direction. That'll all be coming out in August. Of course, Paul, what else? Rambled on. I think that might have been
DEF CON.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say that DEF CON topic.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead. You can't just say it and then shut up.
You're the one who censored. You want to bet he can.
Man, I just talked for like 12 minutes straight.
Yeah, but you're the one who sent it. I don't.
He's got you on that one. You did bring it up.
This guy sucks. All right, man. As most of you know, we're going to be heading out to DEF CON in August. There's some really cool app out there right now that lets you see all the talks and all the work. What do they call them?
Seminars
and there's contests and there's, you know, we can participate in actually taking part in some of the activities where they, you know, do like mini hackathon type things and workshops. That's the word I was looking for. Thank you. Workshops and all that kind of shit. So I was going through that and I'm looking, obviously trying to prioritize things that are relevant to our business. And I did come across one that I'm pretty excited to hear about because it is something that is rampant in DeFi, and that is wallets, wallet security, wallet hacking, and all things that center around that. Obviously, it doesn't get into too much detail and just, you know, what the talk's going to be about, but the subject line was specifically about the vulnerabilities surrounding crypto wallets. And I'm excited about that because, you know, this is one thing when you ask around and who's doing what and what, you know, what companies are out there really trying to focus on the real issues at hand. This is a pure example. This is one thing that I'm excited about because these are things that we're always looking for. We're looking for getting that information. What the hell is going on? How are people doing this? Because this is what, if you've never heard or looked into what DEF CON is, that is what that conference is all about. It's not this big formal conference where it's a bunch of eggheads that, you know some stuff and got a bunch of PhDs and college degrees and really haven't been involved in a whole lot. And they're just giving all these speeches on their knowledge and book learnings. These are the people that are either
practical application experts.
Exactly. Thank you. That was the perfect explanation. Practical application experts. These are the ones that are either doing it maliciously, have done it maliciously, and are now trying to train people on how to protect themselves, or a combination of both and a lot of other things. So these are the people that you want to learn this stuff from, because they're going to show you the dirty behind it. They're not going to just talk to you about what the books tell you.
Well, and that's the thing too, right? Is I can't remember if I said it last time when we announced that we were going, but like one of the unique opportunities that this gives us is to actually be personable with people and start getting some different outside of the box, unorthodox, whatever you want to call it, but you get a different perspective on what other members of the community have. Not saying that there are not other professionals in this type of line of work, excuse me, that we talk with and stuff like that. But it's very difficult to, over the web, reach out to somebody and really gauge their experience when it comes to Web3 or specifically with DeFi and see what they know, what they don't know, and then start asking them questions about exploits without them getting nervous and being like, the fuck you want to know?
Yeah.
So like it's really, really cool that they have something like this where they're going to get like-minded people where we can no bullshit talk to them face to face and, you know, not necessarily be like, well, this is who we are, but at least get that other unique perspective from other experts in the industry, because there's could be all sorts of ideas that, you know, we're approaching from a completely incorrect angle, or the things that we haven't even thought of that we can incorporate into any of our product lines. So just getting that perspective and being able to be amongst those like-minded people is going to be extremely valuable.
Yeah. Yeah, I concur 100%, man. And that's why I was pretty excited to see that, because it's one thing to read articles or watch videos or like Paul said, talk to some professionals that are, you know, had already designed products or wallets or anything like that. And you're trying to get their perspective. And then, like you said, you say, well, what are some of the things that you were concerned with the exploits to your wallet or while you're developing? And they're going to be like, what the hell? I'm not telling you how to exploit my wallet. But when I tell you that the people that are at these conferences, they're there to show off. They're not there to, withhold information. You know, they might not tell you who they are. They might not tell you a whole lot about them. Chances are actually most of them won't. But they're there to show off. They want to show off their skills. They want to, kind of, you know, tote what they know and be the expert at, you know, exploiting or hacking or whatever they're doing in that particular item, whether it's a software or whatever. I think they're even doing a contest where they launched the satellite and they're trying to see who can hack into it first. I know last they time are. I was out there, it was right before the 2016 election, and they had one of the voting machines that they, you know, the same setup that they actually used in the election, and they held a hackathon. I was there for it, and they got in like a couple minutes. It was not good.
Which the satellite one, though, that one's crazy, right? Because at a previous place of employment that the three of us have been at,
yeah,
me and your boy, little Chris over here, we did a lot of tuning with a particular we'll call it vehicle that had to deal with the satellite comms, and that thing was a bitch. Yeah. Just straight up, there were days, and Chris can attest to this because he knows and understands the frustration because we both went through it, but there was days where we went to the satellite expert and you couldn't even get mad at the guy because he was the nicest fucking dude you'll ever meet, but you'd go to him and be like, yo, what the actual fuck? That shit's confusing as hell, man.
Complexity by design. If it's too complex, you'll just give up.
That's basically how it was. We were like, yeah, we're just going to come to you every single time this thing presents problems. And he was like, yeah, I mean, yeah, that's my job and stuff. And every single time would be like, well, we want to learn because, like, it's kind of interesting. And also at the same time, like, it's not that we didn't want to rely on others for help, but we were not used to having to rely on others for help because it was typically something that we could have and maintain within our own wheelhouse because we were the, I'll just say it, we were the better team.
No, you guys were though. You were.
I know we were, but we, you know, we were the better team. So we liked being able to fix it ourselves and not have to really outsource. But man, them fucking satellite people, they are a different breed of nerd.
Yeah, they are, and but it's cool. Like I'm interested in that, right? I won't be participating. I don't got those kind of skills to be hacking the satellite, but I'll be watching. And you know, I want to go to as many of these things as possible. And they go late into the night, they early in the morning, and the range of topics that it covers. And you might not think, you say, okay, well, some of this isn't relevant. Everything's relevant because all of IT overlaps in one way or another, whether it comes to, you know, server operation or front end, you know, UIs being exploited.
Well, I wouldn't even say overlapping. I would just say that like on the exploit front, you attack vectors are along the same lines of having like a solid troubleshooting method, right? Like you have not to say that you can follow like a to-do list to be able to figure it out and achieve your goal, but there are like sets of things that you do that are just, you always check.
Yep.
Granted, it, like nowadays, unless someone's real, unless someone has like a honeypot set up, like nobody has Telnet, right? Like nobody's going to allow a Telnet connection.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you always check it anyways, right? Like it doesn't matter if you are 99.9% sure that this, you know, big conglomerate corporation or whatever is not going to have Telnet open, you always check because you never know. And it's the same thing with troubleshooting. Like I can look and see that I have link light on something if I plug it into a switch, but I'm still going to do all sorts of other checks to verify link one connectivity if I'm dealing with a networking problem before I move into layer, you know, go down the layers of the OSI model or something like that for a troubleshooting method on networking. So there's, I wouldn't even say that it's overlapping. I would say that the methodology behind what you're trying to do is very, very similar across all IT because it's based on logic. So all you're doing is following the logic. You have to figure out your starting point and figure out where you're branching from there, but all you're doing is following logic.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And then what do we look at with blockchain, right? Because I know, you know, what we talk about typically a lot, and everybody out there, you know, especially on social media, talks a lot about the tokens and the coins and the currency and all that. But when you actually drill down into what a blockchain is at its core, there's a lot of encryption, right? So you're dealing with like literally a public and private key that houses all of your assets or your access to your assets. That's not new technology. It's been around for quite a while. So
just a different method of doing it.
Exactly. It's being used in a different technology in a different use case. But the exploitation of a private and public key pairing is going to be the same in many cases. Doesn't matter what the use case is. There's going to be things that are relevant that come of that. So, there's a lot of that that's going to be going on there. So that's long story short. That's, you know, one of the reasons why we said we got to get out there. We got to see what's going on because of the things as we move forward. You know, we hear of other people saying that, you know, they're trying to implement certain levels of security and they're trying to do. Hey, listen, I know some of them are great. There's some of them out there that are just god awful and being touted as, you know, the next greatest thing in security. They're not. The bottom line is they're awful and some of them are good. Again, there's some people out there doing some great things with security and helping the space move forward. But we want to make sure as we're building things that we have that knowledge and those tools beforehand, because trying to backtrack, especially with some of the things that we want to do and that are going on, is not the right way. And a lot of it would be a nightmare or not even very reasonable to think that we would be able to backtrack and implement some of these things that we want to make sure that we're safeguarding against. And like Paul had stated, what better way to know than to hear it and experience it and see it from these people firsthand that are the ones doing it. You know, I'm not doing it. I'm not, you know, jail scares the shit out of me. So I'm not going to be out there doing this stuff. So I want to hear it from them.
Well, it's also too that I had a point with this, I promise, but it just escaped me. So yeah, it's also the opportunity to see what the industry professionals are assuming will happen in the future, right? Because it's not just necessarily, yes, it's people that are coming to show off, but it's true professionals that are going to be there as well. And a decent chunk of these people are also in the consultation world as well. So you have different, you know, like published standards that are getting pushed down the pipeline. So like right now, especially within the DoD, there's the big push for CMMC, which is a cybersecurity maturity model. That is kind of replacing like the, what instruction was like the 8570 standards for IT and stuff.
Yeah, that's
so CMMC is really getting shoved down the throats when it comes to protecting data and whatnot. And that could be something that makes its way over into private industry as a new standard, because even outside of the DoD, some of the industry certificates or baseline accreditations that you would get that were in support of the DoD instruction are also industry standards over in the private sector. So it's only a matter of time before those two kind of meet in the middle and something like the CMMC cybersecurity model, maturity model starts making its way into the private sector. And, you know, it's obviously it's going, you know, with DoD contractors, and that's where usually where it starts coming into the private sector and whatnot. But it'd be interesting to see if, you know, you take financial institutions, for example, which would probably be the next step for crypto anyways, is something like the CMMC or having that cybersecurity maturity model moving over into the financial sector, which has nothing to do with DoD contractors, et cetera. Is that going to have any pertinence in our world in the near future? Or do we think it's going to have any pertinence in our world in the near future? And again, there will be professionals there that might have some insight.
Yeah. Yeah. And that too, like you said, with the professionals, and a lot of them, they become professionals and consultants because they, you know, were doing this in their spare time and pastime. And then they turn into a consultant. Like I said, I remember like one last quick antidote before we start wrapping up this week's protocol. Last time I was there was a group, and I cannot for the life of me remember the name of the group, but they were like one of the most notorious hacking groups out of Europe. I think they were out of the UK for the most part. But they had turned white hat, which, you know, is to help people out and identify vulnerabilities and, you know, educate people and all that. And they were consultants making tons of money, traveling the world. And they were there giving talks and talking about their experiences and how they did things and how they operated, and then giving people pointers and tips on certain things on how to secure systems and lock things down and all that. It was great. It was great. But yeah, they were like, I forget. I wish I could remember the name of the group, but they were in that community. They were notorious for the shit that they had done in the past. Like, to me, it's amazing that they weren't all locked up for life. When he was given some of the stories and shit that they hacked into. Crazy.
Hey, man, if you know where the bodies are buried, they can't put you away.
Yeah. Yeah. I also scare the shit out of you sometimes, too, because you're like, yeah, I don't know if I ever want to get on a train or something. Yeah, I'm good.
Oh, even just being around those types of professionals as well. Like, I've already told the wife, I'm like, hey, look. Like, I showed her the schedule on the app, and I was like, I'm going to be at this thing, like, all fucking day. Like, this is no joke, and I am not bringing my phone with me. So, like, there is no break glass in case of emergency. Like, leave a message at the hotel. I don't know what to tell you, because I ain't bringing my phone to something like this, and it's going on all damn day.
Yep. Yeah, people walking around backpacks and stuff with all kinds of wireless gear and trying to get into people's stuff. Yep. All right. Well, it is that time.
About it, man.
It is that time. It was a good show. I think we talked about a lot of good stuff. Actually, I wasn't even expecting to really go into that much detail with certain things, but good time. Yeah. Before we wrap it up, Chris, do you want to add anything? Maybe a little more detail on the wedding?
Dancing.
On the what?
Getting down at the wedding.
No.
God, he talks too much, man. Why even let him go?
Mic break. One day we're gonna do a whole show and Chris is gonna be like the lead host. Gonna be so much dead air in it. Bo's gonna be pissed. He's gonna have to cut everything out.
You're gonna have to bring somebody in on that. We're gonna have to have a guest on for new protocol for that one.
Oh, when it actually gets posted, you know, for the podcast, posted, all the dead air Bo would have to cut out of it. It's gonna be like about a minute and a half of a show. It's gonna be the intro and the outro. That's about it. But all right, Chris, good talk. Paul, you got anything you want to end with?
Nope.
All right, much either. But I do, again, I want to thank everybody for listening again this week. Don't forget, we do have Affinity Friday coming up this Friday. So we will see you all at 8:30 Twitter Spaces. And, you know, join us for that as well. I'm sure we'll rehash some of what we talked about today. We'll try to come up with some new content, maybe have some more updates, things like that along that line. Thank you again to everybody at DV Radio and Bo and for everything that they do to help keep Affinity Protocol running and for helping over there, helping out veterans. So again, thanks everybody. Thanks for listening on Twitch and DV Radio. We hope you all have a fantastic rest of your week, and we will talk to you again on Friday. Take care, everybody.
Hit us up on Facebook and Twitter.
Goodbye, motherfucker!
DV Radio.